Estás escuchando el podcast de La Cueva del Fan. Bienvenido a La Manada.
Hey, bienvenidos a La Manada, señores. Bienvenidos a un episodio muy especial del podcast porque tenemos invitadazo, analista de Fantasy Football, que ya hablamos el episodio anterior. Y ya lo vamos a presentar en unos minutitos. Vamos a hablar de cosas interesantes, así que de una vez vamos a darle entrada a los líderes de La Manada. Señor Mauricio Gutiérrez, ¿cómo está usted, caballero?
¿Qué onda, manada? Muy contento, todo un honor contar con el invitadazo que tenemos el día de hoy, así que ni siquiera voy a decir más de presentación, vámonos ya para hablar con él. Ahí me pueden encontrar en M. Gutiérrez NFL. Te lo voy a...
Me lo ahorraste, Mau.
Te lo voy a ahorrar, así es.
Señor José Ramón Yaca, ¿cómo está usted?
¿Qué onda, amigos? Muy bien, yo también te lo voy a ahorrar de una vez, como que ya últimamente lo he estado haciendo, en conseguir en JR Yaca en Twitter, y si siempre estoy feliz, hoy estoy más feliz porque tenemos un gran invitado.
Muchas gracias, Yaquita. Chatito, ¿cómo está, caballero?
Feliz de la vida, Chato Romero FF en Twitter. Vámonos, Rizzi.
Vámonos entonces, Adrián al Panseque, arroba al Panseque, La Cueva del Fan, arroba La Cueva del Fan. Este episodio tiene el invitadazo, Mr. Michael Florio from NFL Network. Michael, how you doing, man?
I'm doing great. I'm really excited to be on here. Thank you guys so much for having me.
Michael, just in case somebody in this planet doesn't know where to follow you, what's your Twitter handle so they can follow you from here in Mexico?
Yeah, the more the merrier if anyone wants to follow. At Michael F. Florio is my Twitter handle. There's two F's back to back, so make sure you get that one in there. But I'm pretty sure if you type in Michael Florio, I pop up. So just make sure to go and hit that follow button.
And that FF is because fantasy football, or is it?
Oh yeah, that's what I tell everyone. The middle F stands for fantasy.
For fantasy, Michael Fantasy Florio. Good, Michael. Can you tell us just a little bit of what you're doing? I know you work in the NFL alongside with Adam Rank and Marcus Grant, but just let us know a little bit what you're doing, man.
Yeah, so during football season, you could definitely catch me there on NFL Fantasy Live on the NFL Network. I'm also writing for NFL.com, a whole bunch of fantasy articles. The last ones I've done so far are they all dive into rookies, and I did two about should you be drafting rookies early in fantasy drafts, because every year that becomes more and more of a popular take. And then I did one just on like stats you should know about the top rookies at each position, because rookies are becoming more and more popular than ever in fantasy football, especially this time of year. And a lot of people love like watching and scouting the players. And I think that's a very important tool and a very important aspect in breaking down rookies. But I also think, you know, their college stats matter at least a bit, and they kind of help us paint the picture of these players. So I took a stat approach on these rookies. So you can head over to NFL.com/fantasy and check that all out. And then plenty of videos on YouTube and stuff like that.
Awesome. Yes.
Yeah, the work they're doing over there, it's amazing, Michael. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Yes.
You guys too, though.
Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah, we got a key. We got our the Spanish NFL man here. Michael, just before we start, I'm sorry, go, Yaka.
Sorry, Adrian. Michael, before we start, we usually, while we are recording this podcast, we have a beer. Do you have something like a beer or something? Are you drinking
something? I think because, I have something in
because,
the fridge.
Because if you want, you can go for
yeah, it's for a totally beer. Yeah, it's recommendable.
It's a casual podcast.
It's a very casual podcast. It's late in the afternoon, yeah. So you are more than welcome to have a beer if you
just
want.
Let's be clear. This is water, okay?
This right now, something else.
Water, okay? It's not
okay,
beer.
This is beer. This is beer.
Let's be even more clear. Jaka said we usually have a beer. And regularly one? Have three to four, maybe. So this is the first one.
And sometimes it goes crazy and we put tequila and mezcal, but... It can be crazy.
It's better for our English, Michael. Yeah. So that's why the beer is here. Michael, just before we start with Mauricio, is going to ask you like the first question. We have several questions prepared for you. Something in your article, I mean, people have to go and check it. It's a really good article, but some rookie that pops that it's not in everybody's radar that you think might be doing good this year?
I would say Kadarius Toney is one. I know he didn't put up eye-popping numbers in Florida, but neither did Kyle Pitts, and everyone, myself included, is super excited for Kyle Pitts. And what I like about Toney is, first, he ran a fast 40-yard dash today. It was like around 4.4. There was a couple of conflicting reports on the exact number, but it was around 4.4. And then he did really good this year in explosive plays, and he forced a lot of missed tackles, and he's someone that operates out of the slot. And I know that there's been, in years past, it's been kind of viewed as like, oh, a slot receiver isn't going to put up big numbers for fantasy. Well, that's changed in the last 4 or 5 years, and slot receivers are really putting up, like Tyreek Hill is a slot receiver primarily, and Juju and Chris Godwin, and the list goes on of all the players that we want in fantasy because they're operating out of the slot. So I think that a slot receiver coming into the NFL has an impact of making a year one opportunity. The only thing is, like with him and Rondale Moore, another player I like a lot, that's not like towards the very top of this class, landing spot greatly matters for them because they need to be able to come in year one and operate out of the slot. And if they go to a team that has a proven slot receiver already, that is going to hurt their chances of making a year one impact.
Yeah, I'm really happy. Sorry, Eddie. I'm really happy to hear that, because for me, it seems like the fantasy community doesn't like Toney at all. You go to Twitter and it's not Toney. It's ranking like wide receiver 7th, 8th in dynasty ranks between wide receiver rookies. And for me, it was, why? Toney can produce, you know, in the right system, like you said, as a slot wide receiver.
Go ahead, Michael.
The truth is, when it comes to this wide receiver class and most wide receiving classes, like, landing spot, like, we can do all the scouting we want right now, but landing spot, great. Unless you're Ja'Marr Chase or Devonta Smith, landing spot greatly matters for your chances of making an immediate year one impact. Those rookie wide receiver rankings look great now, but there's a reason why we hold off on these rookie drafts until after the NFL draft, because they're going to get completely shuffled when teams draft.
Right.
Yeah, and that goes with actually every player. You know? I mean, DeAndre Swift was a great prospect, and he shined at the end because he has competitions in his backfield. And that goes with every prospect, Jonathan Taylor, et cetera. Okay, Mau, you have a question for Mr. Florio.
Yeah.
Go ahead and shoot, man.
Yesterday, the NFL made it official. 17 games per team on an 18-week season schedule. What's the fantasy implications? Should be happy? Should be sad? Should be worried about injuries? What's your take on this, Michael?
Well, I think people should be happy because more football is a good thing, right? Like when the season ends, the fantasy season comes to an end, it's always a sad thing unless you win your championship, which only one person in your league could do. Everyone else is sad that it's over. So I think that's a good thing. The one thing I don't love is that it's now going to get pushed to New Year's, which means the entire holiday season is going to be spent working. And selfishly, I loved that it was always like it would end right before Christmas, and then like we would all get a little bit of a break and maybe get to enjoy the holiday a little. So
that's,
I think
over.
That is now over. Yeah. Christmas is going to be the semifinal week now. It's not even going to be the final week of which is going to greatly impact. But as an actual impact it'll have on fantasy, I'm still trying to kind of wrap my mind around it. I would love to hear your guys' opinions, but to me, my takeaway initially was this worries me for running backs. I don't really worry about quarterbacks or receivers, but running backs are naturally the position that take the most beating. And while they don't, I know there's been studies done that show that like they're just as likely to suffer a season-ending injury as a receiver, but they are far more likely to suffer these, you know, minimal injuries where you miss a week or two, or you play at not 100%, and that obviously hurts. So my fear is that now with an extra game being worked in, are teams, one, just going to pick a random week to sit their starter and be like, hey, like, are the Titans going to be like Derrick Henry? You're going to have 400 touches if we keep feeding you like this, so we're going to sit you this week. Or is it just going to be a random week where their starter, who normally gets 20 touches, is going to get 12? because they're trying to ease him one game. And my other concern is it just going to become spread out across 17 games where we're seeing more and more 50-50 splits in backfields? Or even worse than that would be if we start seeing more teams utilize a third running back. So to me, that is my biggest concern. And I've always been, in recent years at least, they get your RBs early because the position dries up quick. Yeah. And I think the 17th game just really reassures that for me, that like, hey, I don't worry about receivers or quarterbacks. I'm worried about running backs. So I want to get the ones that I know can hold up and take this full season workload right off the bat.
So with three backs, we can take the Las Vegas Raiders like visionary teams. Josh Jacobs, Kenyon Drake, and Kenyon Richard. Yes.
Yeah. And the Texans also.
Yeah, the Texans, yes. Lindsey, Mark Ingram, and David Johnson. Wow.
That's good news for A.J. Dillon too, right?
That good news for A.J. Yeah. Dillon, but I was going to say, I don't think we should give the Texans praise for anything they did.
Yeah, I'm agreeing with that. Yeah.
No, it was sarcasm. Pure sarcasm.
But no. Do you guys think there's a chance that this rest for the running backs could get kind of loaded back to the back end of the season? But because my train of thought is like kind of like probably a team that's already with a good record with a great playoff chances. Imagine a team that's 10-3 or 10-2. Probably the resting period for those running backs could just get.
Before
translated it, just translated to week 17 and week 18. Do you see that as a something that has a chance of happening? I guess it all depends on the record for those teams, but it probably could work out that way.
Yeah, I think we've already seen teams try, like winning teams at least, try to build a second bye week in by using week 17 as that rest week. But this year, knowing unless they add a second bye week for every team and make it a 19-week regular season, which, I mean, now we're talking way past New Year's Eve then, ending the season. But unless that happens, I think teams, especially teams that know, like you said, like 10-2 or anything like that, where they're locked in and they're like, all right, we know we're going to make the playoffs, especially if it's only one team gets a bye again like it was last year. Then that rest becomes far more valuable than trying to get your running back like any arbitrary stats or anything like that, because it's something I say a lot. Like, while we care about fantasy football more than anything, and we want our players getting all the touches in week 16 and 17 now, NFL teams don't, and they view those weeks, especially if they're able to, as weeks where we're gearing up for the playoffs. Like, the regular season for them is only a tool to get to the playoffs and to win a Super Bowl. So they have bigger aspirations in mind. And I think that is a concern, but it is a concern that we are not going to see play out until the end of next season.
Until it happens.
Yeah. The resting is going to happen, I think.
I think
it's inevitable.
Maybe they start preparing and we're going to see more committees. You know, they're going to be in a pitch count every game. So you can have more than, I don't know, 20 carries a game. For example, for Derrick Henry, and that's it. And that, you know, they're going
to... Darrington Evans for the win. Okay.
Yes. Maybe they draft Najee Harris.
I'm not sure about that. But I'm agree that regarding fantasy, getting one more week is going to be awesome. But as we briefly discussed yesterday, in my opinion, I don't really see any difference between a 17-week schedule and get one more week. And I would like to know your opinion, Michael, but I know there are some players a little bit upset about this, like Alvin Kamara and David Johnson, but here's my point. I don't think that one more game per year could harm a lot more. As I said, only two teams reach the Super Bowl every season. And maybe those players could get affected, but I don't think that the others, and also this is nothing that we just know like yesterday or something, and every player or many of them agreed on terms of the new CBA. So what do you think about that?
I understand why like players who have already signed their contracts are a little upset, because that game contract just shrunk by 1/16. So I get them being upset by that, but I think ultimately it doesn't, like, for me, excuse me, especially we're speculating right now that we think teams are going to rest players, especially running backs, but it's speculation. So for me, it's not really going to change
how you draft this year.
Yeah. Exactly. It just, again, like, my strategy was to get running backs early, and now I'm just like, I see another reason I should feel that way. Another thing is I've always loved pass catching running backs, because a target is just simply three times more valuable to a running back than a carry in PPR, but also it's less wear and tear because you're not running in between the tackles and just getting gang tackled every time, when you can get into space and get like a one-on-one type tackle or anything like that. So to me, these pass catching running backs, I think, get even more value in this, because I worry less about those guys sitting and more about someone who's going to carry the ball 20, 25 times again. But again, it is just speculation. And I think for us in fantasy, I think you're going to see a lot of people on Twitter and stuff brainstorming different ways it could impact the season. And people are going to try to kind of obsess about it, I think. But until we see it, and even until we see it multiple years, do I think is there anything that we could be like, hey, there's a pattern here and this is clearly going to keep happening? Because teams could experiment this year with resting players or with trying to push them through and then keep reevaluating their process as we get more and more information on how it works.
Yeah, at the end, it's only 8% more of a game for them. I mean, from 16 to 17, it's only 8% more of work.
Not much of a race.
If they cut down a preseason game, it's really the same thing.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. Probably those guys weren't actually playing in the third or fourth preseason game anyways. So it's not, to me, it's not that big of a concern, actually. It's more of a just wondering what kind of will happen. Hey, Michael, actually, not that you've started talking about running backs, there are two guys that that came to my mind regarding this and regarding volume specifically. And those two guys are Jonathan Taylor, because of the volume he had last year, especially at the end of last season, and Austin Eckler, who could actually be the most targeted running back this season. So what is your take on those two guys regarding Marlon Mack returning, Nyheim Hines taking a chunk of the backfield, and what about Austin Eckler? Do you see Austin Eckler as a the player we all thought he could be on the 2020, and unfortunately we didn't have the chance to see him. What's your take on JT and Austin Eckler?
I love both Taylor and Austin.
We all know
Eckler.
That.
Yes. We do.
Even though I will say, I will put on my realist hat here, everything this offseason so far, you could argue, has been bad for Jonathan Taylor. Yeah. Philip Rivers retiring, no one throws to the running back more, especially undesigned checkdowns to the running back more than Philip Rivers, which is great for Jonathan Taylor, because just by being out there on the field with Philip Rivers, he was going to get a couple of just easy dump offs. Like, he nearly caught more balls as a rookie than he did in his college career. Mm-hmm. But that hurts him a little bit. And then I think Marlon Mack coming back hurts him a little bit, and not in the sense that I think Marlon Mack is a threat to steal his job or anything, but the Colts did draft Marlon Mack. He was their starter for 2 years. And then coming off of a severe injury, they re-signed him. They know him. They like him. And last year we saw that they would at times like to get a third running back in. And it was Jordan Wilkins. And he was getting 3, 4, 5 carries a game. Nothing huge. But to me, I'm looking at it as that takes Jonathan Taylor potentially from 20-plus touches a game to 17-plus per game. And that hurts. Enough to where I had him ranked as my RB3. Now I'm considering maybe moving him back into like the middle of the first round, but I would still take him in the middle of the first round because I think he is uber talented. I think the O-line around him is great. I think the offense with Carson Wentz now, I don't think it could be really worse than Philip Rivers was last year. And I think while Nyheim Hines was awesome last season, I'd expect him to regress a little bit. And I think Jonathan Taylor, with what he did down the stretch for this Colts team, they realize that he is the future, and I expect them to set him free. And then with my guy, Austin Eckler, I don't know if that's an Austin Eckler bobblehead right back there. Yeah. I bought last year. I was all over Austin Eckler, and it sucked. He got hurt. The hamstring took him away for entirely too long because I had to just keep looking at him on my bench. But I think he proved last year that he is an RB1, because when he was healthy, he was seeing the ball routinely 20 times a game. And that was the big knock on Austin Eckler coming into the year, was could he hold up to a starting running back workload? Is he going to be the complimentary piece? Is Josh Kelly going to come take his job, which Josh Kelly is no threat to Austin Eckler? Yeah. The only thing,
and Justin Jackson also.
Yeah,
neither. Yeah,
and Austin Eckler in games where he was healthy and Justin Herbert started, he led all running backs in targets and catches per game, and he had a 20% target share. So he's going to be a huge part of that offense once again. An offense that just went out and heavily revamped their O-line. They got maybe the best center in the game now blocking for Eckler and Justin Herbert. I love the Chargers offense. The only thing I'm hoping is with Anthony Lynn gone now, maybe they'll start trusting Austin Eckler in, you know, near the goal line again, because he can do it. And he's shown us time and time again that he can do it, but they just did not trust him there last year. And when they finally did late in the season, he showed them, hey, I'll punch this in for a touchdown. Give me more of these carries. I don't know what they didn't see in Hard Knocks when he was leaping over.
Yeah, a giraffe.
Bags. That guy can get in the end zone. I mean, just give him the ball.
Michael,
where do you see the number of targets for Austin Eckler for next season? Above or below 90?
Oh, that's above. A good number. I'll go above, though, because he was on pace to break over that number with Herbert last year.
And 17 games.
Yeah. Oh, and 17 games. That's going to be the hardest thing.
Yes. You have to start taking that into consideration.
No Hunter Henry. It's an opportunity to Austin Eckler to have middle rounds and receptions in the middle in the field.
Yeah.
Michael, let's take it higher then. Above or below 100?
Nah, I say 90. I said below. I say 95, around there.
99.
I say over 100. Over 100.
Michael, we have the Jonathan Taylor line two podcasts ago when we talk about Jonathan Taylor. And who would you take first, JT or Aaron Jones?
I would take Jonathan Taylor first
Jonathan Taylor, right? That's our line.
Between Michael JT Florio knows.
And Aaron Jones. Yeah, I'm on the JT line too.
I don't have any doubt that JT is going to be a top five running back. I don't see Indy getting more involved through the year because not Carson Wentz, because the wide receiver corp at Indy, and that kind of sharing with Marlon Mack and Naheem Hines, I really don't see it. For me, it's just getting deeper at the position, but JT for me, it's the running back of that team.
And if that's the case, top five running back.
Without offensive line, right?
I think so. I really...
Do you have him at three now, or are you moving them to running back five or six?
I have him still at three.
Okay.
Because the more I think, like, yes, I'm worried about him, but I can also make the case to be worried about Saquon Barkley, about Alvin Kamara, about all those other running backs there. So maybe... after the NFL draft, I'll start to finalize it and adjust. But as of now, I still have him at three because, while I don't think everything has gone great for him this offseason, I still think his ceiling is he can be the RB1 this year and just be the best player in fantasy.
Who do you have under, Michael? Kamara?
Taylor?
No,
over.
Under.
Yeah.
I have CMC. Huh? At number one, for the third straight year, he is just as awesome as it gets. And then I have Dalvin Cook still ahead of Taylor.
So you have Kamara and Saquon Barkley under Taylor.
Yes.
All right.
Kamara, I'm nervous about if it's Taysom Hill, that's scary.
It's not going to be Taysom Hill.
You don't know that.
It can be. Please, come on. It can be.
It could very well be. It could very well be.
Don't mess with my Jameis.
No. Don't mess with Jameis.
Don't mess with my Jameis.
I'm Team Jameis.
Come on.
It's going to be Jameis. Has to be.
What do you think about Jameis, Michael?
I think Jameis is awesome for fantasy. I think Jameis gets a bad rap in real life because, let's be honest, that Bruce Arians' offense is hard to learn. It leads to a lot of turnovers. I mean, Tom Brady, he mastered it. He won the Super Bowl his first year in it. He still turned the ball over more this year than he has in recent years. It is part of that downfield Bruce Arians attack. But what I think for fantasy is he'll sling it 40 times a game if they let him, and he'll air it out. He'll throw up those balls where it's just like 50-50, go get it, Michael Thomas or whoever they have there. My fear, though, is that Sean Payton goes full Sean Payton and goes with a QB, like, committee.
Committee.
Like, like when we get close to the goal line, he brings in Taysom Hill every time. And then in between, the 20s, it's
– these guys scream at me when I present that idea that maybe we have a quarterback by committee in New Orleans.
It's even awful to think about it.
That doesn't exist in the NFL. They will not. So will not.
The only coach I fear doing that is Sean
Payton. Yes. Yes. Michael, now we talk about two great running backs. Now I want to talk about wide receivers. And I want your opinion about who do you think is going to be the breakout for 2021. In 2018, Juju was a breakout. Then Chris Godwin in 19, Calvin Ridley last year. So who do you see? We have our candidates here, CeeDee Lamb, T. Higgins, Brandon Ayuk, and Deontay Johnson. For me, Deontay Johnson was to be the breakout last year, but he have a dropping issues and nagging injuries. For me, it's Deontay Johnson, the one who has to be the breakout candidate for this year, but I want to know your opinion.
I'm going to let you down. I really like Deontay Johnson. I had him on a lot of teams last year. I just do not love Big Ben in that Steelers offense. I love CeeDee Lamb and the Dallas Cowboys offense. And you look at what he did last year with Dak Prescott. It was just five games, but he was averaging almost 18 fantasy points per game right behind Amari Cooper, who was just under 18 per game as well in that stretch with Dak. Michael Gallup was the clear third target in this offense because CeeDee Lamb just came in and was like, listen, I'm better than you. I'm going to get more targets. And he did so in his first five NFL games in a year with no preseason. So this year now with a healthy Dak, with a healthy Cowboys offensive line, and with CeeDee Lamb being more adjusted and acclimated at the NFL level, I think the sky is the limit for him. As, again, we're looking at this list of breakouts, Juju and Godwin, both big slot receivers.
Yeah.
So is CeeDee Lamb, and that's where he's going to be doing a bunch of his damage from. So I love Lamb, and I target him in the fourth round of all my drafts. But I also really like T. Higgins unless they draft Ja'Marr Chase there at five, because I think there's going to be a ton of targets up for grabs. And if they don't take Chase, that means the O-line has improved and we get to see Joe Burrow not running for his life on every play, hopefully, and he can actually get the ball out to T. Higgins.
I think they have to improve in the offensive line in this draft, the Bengals, because Joe Burrow under pressure was like 37% in accuracy. I mean, it was awful what he did when he was pressured. So I think they have to protect more Joe Burrow. They have two great weapons with T. Higgins and Tyler Boyd over there. I don't think they shouldn't draft Ja'Marr Chase. I mean, it's crazy. He's the talent.
Neither Sewell and not Ja'Marr Chase. Maybe Kyle Pitts.
Maybe Kyle Pitts. And maybe. He helped.
Just picture that. Picture that offense.
Yeah.
My God.
That would be fun to watch.
Yes.
Michael, regarding CeeDee Lamb, I'm with you. He's my favorite. And not just because he's 2020 production and numbers. I really think that he could be what I thought Michael Gallup could be last season. And I'm pretty sure that we can expect the same numbers as Amari Cooper, but a lot much cheaper. You know, I can see Amari going drafted maybe at the third round. And we could get CeeDee Lamb maybe two rounds later. And that's what I like him most.
Yeah, I actually think there's a chance that CeeDee Lamb could, I think he will take over as his team's number one wide receiver eventually. I think could come as early as this year. Maybe that seems a little bit bullish because I know Amari Cooper has an out in his contract after this year. So I think a lot of people have circled his real breakout to a number one wide receiver is like the 2022 NFL season. But he is so good. For me, he was my number one wide receiver coming out of last season. And I think a lot of people this year now would say Justin Jefferson is the best wide receiver from that draft class. I'm not one of those people. I still think it is going to be CeeDee Lamb when all said and done.
Yeah, I agree.
Amazing.
Yeah. I like it. Yeah, I would like to say one more name. The second one from is Brandon Ayuk, and maybe this is a little bit hypothetical, but can you imagine what Ayuk can do with a more explosive quarterback as Justin Fields could be? And I think we can finally see a truly wide receiver one in fantasy football with this type of quarterback. What do you think about it?
I really love the talent in Ayuk, and he is someone that I'm okay drafting. The only thing I don't love about him is he still has to compete for targets with George Kittle and Deebo Samuel. And last year, when the second half of the season, those guys were out when he was really breaking out. And I don't think he's going to be lit. Like, I don't think he was just a factor of those guys not being there. I think he's a great talent, and I think Kyle Shanahan is going to have so much fun with this offense. I just worry that George Kittle is always going to be their number one target as long as he is healthy. Yeah. And then if the other two are kind of competing to be the number two there, could Ayuk be a little bit too up and down to really break out as like a wide receiver one? I like him a lot more as a two, which you don't have to pay anywhere close to a wide receiver one price to get him. Yeah. But so much still has to be answered at the quarterback position that I think we'll have a much better sense for him. Because if it's Justin Fields, I'm then getting excited. But if it's Mac Jones or Trey Lance and we're getting Jimmy G for a year, which I don't believe those smoke screens, but if it ends up being true, that I think is a ding on his value.
Definitely. Yaquita, and you have a question for Michael too, right?
Yes, we have one more question for Mike. I have a list of candidates of players that might increase or decrease his value post-NFL draft. And the list includes Mike Davis, Chase Edmonds, James Robinson, and Miles Gaskin. Which is your favorite?
My favorite is Chase Edmonds because
of course
I believe in his talent. He has shown us not just last year, but even the year before when they called upon him to be their RB1, he produces. Like there was a stretch, I think it gets overlooked, in the 2019 season. David Johnson started off fine. Then he got hurt and Chase Edmonds went off and was like everyone's number one waiver wire pickup. Then he got hurt and they traded for Kenyon Drake and he was kind of pushed to the side. But we know that he could catch passes, which is something that I love in my running backs. The reason I think he can gain or lose the most value in the NFL draft is what do the Cardinals do? If they take Javonte Williams or Najee Harris or Travis Etienne, well, then Chase Edmonds is probably going back to that RB2 role he had the last couple of years with the Cardinals. So, but if they don't take one of those guys and they just take, you know, a later round running back and Edmonds is the starter, then I think we could get excited about him as being like a mid to high end RB2 even in that offense, because we've just seen the running back. I know Kenyon Drake didn't live up to expectations last year because Edmonds kind of ate into his production, but the running back in the Cliff Kingsbury system 2 years in has been pretty good for fantasy. Yeah. So I think he is the biggest winner, but Mike Davis is another one. Like if the Falcons, which I fully expect them to do, add a running back, well, then he goes back into an RB2 role, is probably a third down back and a complimentary piece there. But if they don't, well, then he is the lead back in a Jimmy Smith offense, and we've seen what he has done with an Arthur Smith, offense. We've seen what he has done with the Tennessee Titans run game in years past. Not saying he's going to be Derrick Henry, but it's obviously a huge boost for
nobody's Derrick Henry, man.
He is one of one.
Yeah, but I think also that Arizona has another – they have bigger needs to reinforce through the draft, like, I don't know, corners and defensive players – to be competitive again in that division, that it's going to be even better with San Francisco and all their pieces together again. So I don't know, but I don't. And also, you can see Kingsbury praising the players. So I don't think they're going to go high on a running back in the draft. Maybe as a complimentary piece, but I have faith in Chase Edmonds. If they don't draft a big running back, for me, he's a 16, 15. He's in that rank. Number 15, number 16. So it's a very high running back too.
Yeah, I think he definitely has that capability.
Mao, for you, what do you think about James Robinson? I think James Robinson it's a big question mark because he did so well last year, and maybe they go with the recency bias. But what do you think?
I'm starting to think that James Robinson is going to be the running back one for the Jacksonville Jaguars in 2021. They added Carlos Hyde already. I really don't see them investing heavily in the position. So probably it's safe to say that James Robinson is going to be a top 15 running back next year. I don't know if you agree, Michael.
Yeah, I do. And I think he's been a winner this offseason because last year, and kudos to Marcus Grant for really being the first that I've heard pointing this out. Yeah. Like last year, everything went right for a James Robinson breakout. They cut Fournette right before the season. Ryquil Armstead, who they really liked, he suffered COVID and was out the entire season. And then their other backups there were either hurt or ineffective. So it really was, let's give 90% of the RB touches to Robinson. And we both thought that they were going to bring someone else in this year. But Carlos Hyde is not a threat to be the starter now. He is a complimentary piece. He's a guy who he could handle more of the workload than the other running backs they had last year could, but he is not a threat to be the starter. And because they addressed the position, and they've already came out and said, like, we want to build the running back room around James Robinson. And to me, their actions show that that's what they're doing. And they have bigger needs than running back. So I expect them to take Trevor Lawrence and then build around him and just be like, all right, we're good with James Robinson and he's going to be our starter. And if he is, I agree. I think top 15 running back is definitely in play.
But James Robinson already had his best fantasy season?
Or he's going to possible. It's very possible that last year was his best fantasy. It was the best season ever by undrafted rookie.
Yeah, of course.
It was amazing, hysterical for some of us.
Yes.
So much so that Mao even called him James Anderson at the beginning.
Yes.
I was so confused between Robinson and Anderson. Actually, I said it on a podcast and a live stream, never an article. So that's for me.
Yeah. And you end up to double check. You were double checking.
Yeah, I have to double check it every time.
End up being Mr. Anderson from the Matrix because he dodged every tackle. And how about Miles Gaskin? I mean, I think that the Dolphins are going to draft some running backs. In they have so many picks, they can do it. And with this trade between Miami and San Francisco and then Philadelphia, they're not going to address the quarterback. They trust in Tua, at least for this season. So I think they're going to – I think Miles Gaskin is – it's a good time to sell him in dynasties if you haven't. It's my opinion. What's yours, Michael?
I think – I do expect them to address the running back position as well. I think they're going to try to put as much talent around Tua as you can, which has now kind of become the blueprint in the NFL. And that – I think at 12 they're going to take – I don't expect Kyle Pitts to still be there, but I think they'll take a receiver, not a running back. But – I do think they will address the running back position, and that obviously hurts Gaskin because Savon Ahmed is still there, and then they signed Malcolm Brown. But neither one of those two I don't think are a huge – like, I think he will be in a camp battle with those guys for the starting job. But if they invest the early round pick in a running back, well, that's just another body there that you got to beat out for the job. And to me, if they invest a draft pick there, they'll probably want to get that guy utilized. So – Gaskin, I think, is one that if they don't draft a running back, he could become a really good value. But if they do, then yeah, you definitely want to be selling them right now if you think they're going to draft a running back.
Who do you think could be the best fit for the Dolphins? Najee Harris, Travis Etienne, Javonte Williams?
I think Harris. As much as I like Javonte Williams, the Dolphins shown us last year that they want to use just one running back. And I think Javonte Williams is a better pass catcher than he gets credit for, but Najee Harris was utilized more in the passing game in college, and he did a pretty good job in it as well. So I think they could bring him in and give him 250 touches.
Yeah, his build for that, right?
Oh, yeah. I think he's not Derrick Henry, but he's awfully close, physique-wise at least.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, and another one that I think won big time because I don't think the Falcons are gonna draft some running back very high. It's Mike Davis. You know, he's been, you know, the guy who goes through every team. It's like the Patrick of the running backs. But I think he landed in a good spot and he will have a good opportunity. What do you think, Michael?
I think he right now is the best back on their team.
Yeah.
And I think that last season they obviously got nothing out of Todd Gurley. And then when Brian Hill and Ito Smith have been axed in last year and years past, like, they've shown that they're nothing more than backups at the NFL level. So I think right now Mike Davis showed last year, like, yeah, he got burnt out towards the end of the year, but he had a good stretch where he was showing that he could be a lead back. I do anticipate them bringing in a running back in the draft, but I anticipated them being, you know, more heavily involved with the bigger name running backs in free agency. And they went with Mike Davis. So I think Davis is one that he could be a very clear, huge winner if they do not invest an early pick in a running back. And I think right now at four, I don't think there's any way they would use that pick on a running back. So if you are a Mike Davis fan or you have him in Dynasty, you're hoping that they do not trade down because then they could accumulate more picks. And the later the pick, the more likely I think a team is to use it on a running back.
If the Falcons don't pick a high-end running back, what's your projection about Mike Davis? He's going to be a mid running back two, low end running back two, high end running back two, running back one.
I think I do not think he'll be an RB1. I think he'll have weeks where he's an RB1. Yeah. But I think I would value him more as like a mid to low end RB2. Like I know we said Chase Edmonds around 15. He would be behind Chase Edmonds for me.
Can he be the David Montgomery from last season?
Ooh, he definitely could because he's going to be drafted as probably a mid to low end RB2, I would imagine. And then, Arthur Smith's shown us he will give plenty of touches to a running back. And Matt Ryan has shown us time and time again that he will dump off plenty of passes when he's under pressure to a running back. So Mike Davis could put up a very high catch total, especially if Atlanta is like they are the last few years where they're routinely down like 20 points.
And there are like 300 touches available in that offense since Todd Gurley and Brian Hill are gone, right?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Did you know, guys, what's the schedule for Mac Davis? Because David Montgomery had an easy one last year.
I don't care about the schedules. I mean, volume is important. And if Mike Davis is going to have 20 touches per game, I think he can be a really solid running back too, with upside of weeks of running back one.
Yeah, but part of the success of David Montgomery last year was because of the schedule.
And yes, because the absence of Tariq Cohen.
Yes, he had to have the volume.
Yeah.
Because as I just said, as the soft schedule wouldn't have given him the volume he had anyways.
And I'm not saying about ending as in the running back one stratosphere. I'm saying that it's gonna be a good trade-off for the ADP that Mike Davis might have in this. As the good thing about David Montgomery maybe wasn't the fantasy points that you can cash in at the end of the season. It was steady Eddie last season, and Mike Davis I think can be steady Mike in that regard. No,
I he agree.
He could be, yeah.
All right, guys. Do you have any other questions for me, for the other Mike here in the podcast?
Not steady Mike.
Mike.
Not that steady Mike.
Marvelous Mike FF Florio. All right. If not, guys, Mike, thank you very much for being here, man. This is your house, as we say in Spanish. Our community is the pack, so welcome to the pack. You're a member of the pack, man. The mics are yours, so you can say goodbye to your Mexican and Spanish speaking community, man. Thank you very much for having us here.
Thank you guys for having me. It is a huge honor to get to jump on this podcast with you guys. You guys are doing great work there and helping spread fantasy football, which to me is such a good thing. So the more and more people we can get playing it, the more and more appreciation and recognition and love for the game and everything that comes with it. So it is great work that you guys are doing, and you guys are crushing it. And if you ever want me back, just feel free to reach out and I'll be happy to come back.
Well, thank you, Mike.
Every Wednesday at this time, right?
Yeah, exactly. Jaka is very worried about your drinking, Michael. We're definitely going to have you next time so Jaka can sleep.
Sound?
Yeah, rest easy and see you with a drink in your hand.
I will be prepared. I came with water. I'm trying to be a little bit healthy nowadays.
That's but you're on the fantasy football feet club, right?
Yeah, I'm trying because every movement. Football season
I have 1 week of workout already. And I'm
nice.
Great. Yeah.
Kudos, man.
The beer is a healthy drink.
Yes, is it?
It's almost
salad. Beer, wine, whiskey, everything is a healthy drink, man.
The beer is almost salad.
It helps you forget your all the bad things.
Liquid salad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I will be prepared and have a beer in hand next time. I promise you that.
And Mike, and then I'll take your word for it, and maybe we can invite you from doing a live mock draft in sometime this preseason. I think that will be an awesome idea to invite you to a mock draft with
us. That would be great.
I would love to.
And that'll be great with the community. Mike, thank you very much, man. Remember our community again, where they can find you on Twitter, please.
Yeah, you can follow me at Michael F. Florio. And I would say it's the best spot to follow me because you get all my work kind of in just one spot. I put everything I do out on Twitter.
All right, Michael, thank you very much. Maná, muchísimas gracias por escuchar. No olviden de dejar un review en Apple Podcast si nos escuchan. Y ya saben a nosotros por dónde nos pueden seguir. Se les quiere muchísimo. Cuídense. Bye bye.
Gracias por escucharnos y recuerda que La Cueva del Fan está en Facebook, Twitter, YouTube y Spotify.